right. Speaking of the brain, speaking of injuries, I think it's a good time to bring in Doc DeRay from Inside Injuries. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing, doing very well.
How are you doing, Doc? I got Jeff out this morning, Doc, and I'll be going along. I'll be breaking it down while you talk.
Excellent. I do want to talk. I just heard you guys talk about, you know, players hiding injuries because of the like they have contracts, they have to live a life, and they're trying to, you know, it's very interesting in my experience that the players a lot of times don't understand the long-term effects of the decisions that they make when they play through injury. And we don't expect them to too much, but they have to be convincible, you know, because they can significantly hurt their career playing through an injury, as opposed to, like, you know, short-term effects is just getting sit out a couple of weeks, even a couple of weeks, and then coming back in, and they had drastically reduced their, you know, chance of getting injured. But if they are hiding it and they're trying to play through it, it was one of the hardest things to convince a professional athlete to sit down.
100%, and especially in the NFL, you only play 16 weeks, and it's extremely hard, especially when the painkillers that make him feel nothing. So there you go. Let's get into some of these baseball injuries, though, Doc. And I want to start with something we started with last week. We opened up the show talking about it this morning, and that was Robinson Cano, right? We talked about Robinson Cano, and he was somebody we were concerned, just needs some rest, better stretching, whatnot. Plays the day after we talked to you, and then everyone's like, oh, you guys got it wrong. And you know what? Robinson Cano was on the DL yesterday with a strained quad. So nice job here by you, Sir Doc, and by Corey Parson, our resident doctor here.
Well, I'll tell you that, numbers don't lie. I mean, the guy had a soft tissue quad injury, and our optimal recovery time is 1 week. What did he do? He played in 12 hours.
Yep, exactly.
And I'm telling you, this is a perfect example of data shows that if you go down with a soft tissue quad injury and you increase your chance of injury 50% by playing the next day, if you stay 1 week off, let it heal, let the strain go down, it will be a lot less likely to get injured. And, of course, now he's escalated it to a grade one. Now he's got an ORT of 3 weeks, and he's an elevated and below average. He should get back to above average, but I think he now will have to be at elevated injury risk the rest of the year because he's injured that repetitive injury to that one area. The algorithm does not look, does not see that as very nice. You know, it really negates that for an athlete if they get injured to the same body part in a short period of time.
Corey, it could have been all of it avoided if he just would have rested.
If he would have rested like me and Dr. A said last week, that was me and Dr. A's advice to Robinson Cano last week, was to get some rest, to get off of this. Right. He could have been on the road to recovery. So go ahead, Scott.
Right. So, Doc, we talked a lot about the Mets last week, and they're saying Cespedes is about a week. Cespedes is about a week away, and they said, you know, Mats and Seth Lugo are starting rehab assignments. Now, in addition to going into those guys, but also you look at the wave of injuries, and some people could say, okay, it's bad luck as Drubal Cabrera, you know, dives for a ball in the out, you know, on shortstop, and he injures his thumb. But when you have such a rash of injuries, you know, and everybody's blaming the medical staff among the Met fans and fantasy players, is it more a thing of, like, you know, maybe they aren't conditioning the guys properly? You know, maybe it's something in the strength and conditioning staff. You know, are these guys not prepared physically? You know, what's going on here? Is it just bad luck, or is it something more?
Well, in my experience, it's so multifactorial, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with the influence that the medical staff has over the players and the management, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of opinions and, thoughts that go into whether a player should rest and start and all of that stuff. And, you know, certain teams have where the medical staff makes advice, but they don't really have any decision-making ability, and it's really on the coach and it's really on management to see if a player is going to get back onto the field. And, you know, you see all these rash of injuries with the Mets. It's not so much that the medical staff is not good. I mean, I'm sure they're fantastic. But the problem is really you know, they don't have partly what's wrong with professional sports today. Not that I want to plug what we're doing, but they don't have the data. Like, they don't have this 10-year, 15-year history of data to say, hey, this body part, this injury, I got to rest a minimum of 6 days before he comes out. It's almost like sabermetrics for injuries, you know? And so the problem with that is that it starts to avalanche. It starts to escalate, right? So if you don't rest a guy, he gets injured. If you bring a guy back too soon, then all of a sudden these are repetitive injuries. And notice that a lot of these guys are pitchers for the Mets, right? So chronic, you know, throwing injury, you know, extremity type injuries, these are the things that are going to creep up if you have, you know, multiple players that are not sort of following this type of preventative mechanism. But I think at the end of the day, in my experience dealing with teams and trainers and medical staffs, et cetera, it's really about the decision and influence that the medical staff has over a team and how many inputs there are in terms of getting a player back onto the field. And I think in the Mets situation, there's probably the medical staff is probably not as strong from a decision-making ability.
We're talking to Dr. A, inside injuries. He did say that he's sure that the Mets doctors are great, and I can't confirm that, or, you know, whatever. But nevertheless, you know, whatever you say,
but,
Doc, it's fine.
Yeah, so, like, real quickly, so Cespedes, you know, we had him at, you know, elevated injury risk because of this, and even though he's resting and he's running on Monday, guys, believe it or not, our algorithm is saying now he's got into high injury risk and to avoid him, just to avoid him, you know, right now. So that's what our algorithm is saying there. Steven Matz, again, he's at high injury risk. You know, he could join the Mets in early June, but again, right now he's at high injury risk. Seth Lugo is not at high injury risk. He's at elevated injury risk, but his HPF is below average. He starts the rehab assignment on Thursday. He will probably be elevated, though, still at that point. So this is not looking really good for the Mets starting, you know, sort of pitching staff and some of these guys. And then, of course, unfortunately, the whole blood clot issue, you know, with Familia. You know, the posterior circumflex humeral artery. It's amazing that they give us the actual artery. The problem is that usually blood clots happen in veins, not arteries. So I'm kind of confused, you know, about, you know, with Chris Bosh on the Heat where he had that DVT, they called it a blood clot in the leg, right? That's all in the vein. In the artery, I don't understand. There's no blood clot. There is clots in the artery, but usually it's associated with a vein. But anyway, his season's probably going to be over. And you know how these blood clots come back and forth, and if they propagate and move, then it can go into the lungs, and that's a life and death issue. So again, these kinds of guys, Familia may not have a career, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but you know, this is just what happens from what we've seen over the last decade with blood clots.
Hey, Doc, good morning. A player that we mentioned, I think, last week, but I'm at the opinion to sell high on this guy. He's come back from the DL on fire. That's J.D. Martinez. Are you with me that he's a guy that we should be selling, or would you be buying?
Well, J.D. Martinez, you know, he did have an injury, and you guys are killing me here. That wasn't the player you'd mentioned to me on the list. Oh. So.
Well, you know, Doc, he had the Liz Frank injury, Doc, and basically what we're trying to figure out with the Liz Frank injury for an outfielder, somebody who's running in the outfield the whole time. So basically, he had the Liz Frank injury in the preseason, took the time off, got it together. Now he comes back. He's absolutely on fire, Doc, but he's dealing with that issue with that Liz Frank sprain. More or less, what we're saying, I feel like the app would say that the Liz Frank sprain would, more or less, is something that will continue to bother him throughout the course of the season, especially because of the nature of the position he plays.
Yeah, it's short-term, he'll be okay, but this is a long-term recurrent injury, so expect him potentially to have this injury again throughout the season at some point.